Okay.
Yeah.
All right, he said, we'll forget it. What's happened? And I told him. Well, he said, I'll be blowed. He said, I'd never thought of that. So, there's problems, eh?
I'm just going to ask you. I notice when I walk along the prom now, a lot of, if you walk behind a lot of the hotels, they're very badly maintained. Now, was that as a situation, was it like that when you first came into this trade, or did you notice it changing?
Yes.
Pear.
Well, when we went into the Grasmere and into the Hydro, the people very often would smarten up and paint or whitewash or permastic the front of the hotels, and you go around the back and it looked, as you'd imagine, like Belsen. Terrible. And one of the first things, we didn't do it the first year, had so much to do, but the second year we had an outlet, and that looked on to the neighbours next door on either side. Well, now on either side, as we it so happened in the Hydro, on the outlet, there was no windows from the neighbours. They were just plain cement walls. Now in the Grasmere, when you looked on the outlet, you were looking into the bedroom windows about 18 feet away, all the other side. So in the Hydro, it was beneficial for us to paint the neighbours' walls. We didn't do it with whitewash. It was a type of permastic, I suppose, but it was white. And we did that all the way down. And it reflected the light into the bedrooms and made them lighter and brighter. The paintwork, when we went into the Hydro, all the skirting boards were black. You see, in the old days, people used to believe in black paint and that sort of business because it didn't show the dirt. But I always believe in having cream paint, because if there's any dirt, I want to see it. There ain't going to be any dirt, you see, and it gives confidence to the visitors. And we started in the Hydro with the bedrooms at the top. And we recarpeted from the top, the corridors, all the way down. And we put in new fitted wardrobes and flush panelled all the doors, put in Yale locks. And we found when we went there, we had about 150 keys. It took you half an hour to find a key to what was what. So that I devised a system which I'd started in the Grasmere. We had a master set. Now, the one little landing, each chambermaid had her own key, which only fitted her landing. It didn't fit any cupboards on the landing, because we had the cupboards on the landing where there was toilet rolls and sheets and things. She couldn't go to the floor above and open any of the chambermaid above or below. Now, the head chambermaid had one key which fitted all the bedrooms and some of the cupboards. That is, the cupboards which she needed for toilet rolls and sheets, but the other cupboard which had other things in, private things, well, she couldn't, the lock wouldn't open those. The chef downstairs had a key that had fit his confectioner's room, the fridge room, his storeroom and the kitchen. But it didn't fit my big storeroom. It didn't fit anywhere else. And I had one grandmaster key that fitted the lot. And the head girls, I had two head girls, one in the storeroom, a very important position, and the other one kind of an assistant manageress in a way. And she had a master key, but they were 100% trustworthy. And I remember when I put a window in the kitchen door, it was only about a foot square, about the height of your head. because coming from the outside, coming from the street along the passage, if anybody opened the kitchen door and you were carrying a tray of meat or a tray of anything, you could be bashed with it. And it was merely so that whoever was coming and going could see if there was anybody on the other side coming. And you know, the chef didn't speak to me for 2 days afterwards. He thought I was spying on him, as if it didn't anyway. But there you are.
Did you have to keep a close eye on some of your staff? You know, did you ever have trouble, maybe pilfering?
Well, no. The staff couldn't pilfer because they couldn't. They had no access to anything. I mean, at night the dining room was set up, and we had Atkinson's electroplated nickel silver plate, King's pattern, beautiful silver and the jugs and everything. And the dining room door was locked. Mind you, when we first went there, it wasn't locked, it didn't have a lock on it. And we found some of the cutlery stolen, the visitors coming off early, say at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'd help themselves to a few knives and forks and things and clear off. And so I said, I thought to stop that, I put on a mortise lock, you see, which stopped that, you see. And gradually, the public train you see, into being horrible. For instance, we used to have supper up to shut the dining room at 11 o'clock at night. And we'd have high tea twice a week to serve those people who liked high tea. Not everybody has dinner at night. You have dinner midday, but anyway, we did that. And there was always quite a bit of bread over, bread and butter and things. And we used to put that on with jam and cheese at night. And first come, first served. Those who used to come in for the supper first had the bread and butter, otherwise they just had the biscuits and cheese. But in the old days, there was I don't know how many pubs in the Isle of Man, and they all had pianos in, they were roaring and singing, and they'd leave at the very last minute and come into the dining room at about 11:02. Now, I didn't mind because I was up till 3 or 4 in the morning. Not that there was anything doing, but I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't anything. And but the staff had to stop up, and they didn't like these people coming in. And some of them were very jolly because they'd had an ample supply of drink. And you couldn't get them up. It would be well after midnight before you got them out of the dining room. So we didn't charge for supper. So we altered it. This happened in the middle of the summer. We altered it and shut the dining room at 10 p.m. Anybody came after 10 p.m, they didn't get anything. And not only that, the door was locked. And as the people wanted to come out at 10 o'clock, it was unlocked by the porter who stood by the door. And if they came in at half a second after 10 o'clock, they wouldn't get in. No way. You see, we were tough. And as I explained to them, one or two did come in and complain. We always had it till 11. And I tried to explain to them. I explained to them what was happening. And I said, we can fill our guest room, our dining room, absolutely full. We can get any amount of visitors. Easiest thing in the world. I said, you know what the hardest thing to do? He said, no, what's that? I said, to get staff. And staff that will put up with the visitors drinking and eating at 1 o'clock in the morning when they want to get off to bed. And I said, the visitors expect the staff to be down there at 9 o'clock sharp in their uniforms and everything and flat out to give them service, and yet they'll keep them up and won't let them get to bed. No, I said, it's...
You believed in, explaining things to the visitors?
Oh, yes, we did. And we had tannoy as well, and it's not like the tannoy you hear on the Manx Airlines or anything like that, where it's just turkey gobbledygook, and you